So we've been 9 weeks doing the fruit of the Spirit. This is the 9th week. And today we will finish the series. And we're going to talk about self-control. Let's look at self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law." It's interesting that self-control is at the end of the list. The truth is, you can't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness without having self-control. Let me tell you a story. A woman who was part of a diet club was complaining as they had their weekly meeting. She was saying that she was so frustrated that she wasn't losing weight. And so she stepped on the scale, and sure enough, that week, she'd gained a few pounds. She told the other folks of the club that how she had made her family's favorite cake over the weekend, and they'd sat down after dinner. They had a piece of cake each, and the cake was half gone. The next day, she was working around the house. Everyone had gone, and every time she walked through the kitchen, she saw that half cake sitting there, and finally, she couldn't resist anymore, and she cut herself just a thin slice of that cake, and she ate it. Well, one thin slice led to another, and she said, "I ate the rest of the cake." She was frustrated and disappointed with her self-control, and she said that she knew her husband would also be disappointed in her. The members of her group tried to encourage her, and then one lady asked her and said, "So, what did your husband do when he found out?" She smiled and said, "My husband never found out. I made another cake and ate half of it." Self-control is not something we like to talk about, as most of us struggle with it from time to time. I mean, we even notice Paul struggling with it when he transparently writes in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." Paul is saying that, you know, I struggle with this self-control. Paul, the man who wrote a large portion of the New Testament, is saying, you know, I struggle for the things I want to do. I don't have the self-control to do them. And the things that I hate to do, the things I don't want to do, I don't seem to have the self-control to not do them. You'd wonder why God would allow him to write that in the Bible. Like, he's the man of God. Why does he struggle with that self-control? Self-control is the ability to control oneself, in particular, one's emotions and desires, especially in difficult times. The Christian author of Your Future Self Will Thank You, Drew Dick, wrote, "Self-control is the ability to do the right thing even when you don't feel like it." Have you ever been in one of those spots where you just don't feel like doing the right thing? I just would rather do something else. Self-control is the ability of holding our tongue when someone cuts us off in traffic, or when someone speaks harshly to us, even though we want to react wrongly, we want to just let loose. I know that doesn't affect anybody here, but it's not eating all the donuts. Let me confess, I worked at Home Hardware in Chase when we were starting a church there. We were planting the church there, and I worked at Home Hardware full time. And usually on Fridays, the owner's wife would bring in some Tim Hortons donuts because she'd gone to Kamloops and she'd come back. And the donuts would sit by the back scales because that's where the contractors came in. And the donuts were really for the contractors. Well, I would walk by there and I would grab one of those donuts and I'd go out in the yard behind the lumber pile and I'd eat that donut. And 15 minutes later, there's still donuts there. Well, obviously the contractors don't want them. So I would grab another donut and go behind the lumber pile again and eat it. And I would have two or three of the dozen or two dozen donuts, depending on how many. I had more than my share, honestly. I had no self-control. The truth is, if those donuts sat there, I would be just like the lady with the cake. I would have had to go out and buy another dozen donuts so it looked like I didn't eat any. I had no self-control. Self-control is not eating all the donuts. Self-control is not getting drunk or using coarse language or watching pornography, spending our money when we don't have it, whether it's on the shopping channel or whether it's going to Walmart, just spending to spend, to buy. Self-control is not yelling at the kids. It's not slamming the door. Even if everything in us is saying, do it. Self-control is the ability to do what is right when we don't even feel like it. That brings us back to Paul's struggle and ultimately the one each one of us are challenged with. How do we have self-control? How do we do what we should do and not do what we shouldn't do? How do we make self-control a blazing log on the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives? I think we can take some good advice from athletes who compete, especially those who compete in the Olympic Games. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in a way as to get the prize. New Living Translation ends that verse with, so run to win. Think of the self-control it takes for an athlete to train for years to compete in an event in the Olympic Games that might only last seconds. Think of all the self-discipline. Think of all the training, all the time in the gym, all the time running or swimming or skiing or whatever their event is, all the time they do, the time they just practice the moves, the strokes, the starts, all those different things. Why do they do all that? Why? What helps their self-control to grow so they can do what they need to do to win? Well, I think it's because they know their purpose. Their purpose is to win. To stand on the podium and hold the gold medal for their country. That's their purpose. They know their purpose. To win the race, runners must stay on track. They must follow the course set before them. They must head for the purpose. A runner can't win the race by running their own path. They must run the race set before them. You know, if I used to run I used to run cross country when I was in school, and we would run 2 mile cross country races. And it was really easy to run the race if you didn't stay on the track that they had set. You could do a shortcut here and go down this street instead of going around. But it didn't work. You have to stay on purpose, on the track, to win the race. Will we run through our lives aimlessly, or will we run with purpose? If we want to grow self-control, then we need to know our God-given purpose for our lives. We have to stop running to please ourselves. Stop running aimlessly and run the race God has established for us. Only as we keep our life on track with our God-given purpose can self-control of the Holy Spirit grow in us. Ephesians 5:15-17 declares, "Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." We must be careful to make the most of every opportunity, every moment, and understand what the Lord's will is. See, His will for us, His God-given purpose in life, that's what His will for us is, His purpose that He's got for us. So what is our purpose as we live for Him? What is our purpose as we are Christians, as we live for God? Well, our purpose is to be Christ-centered, people-centered. It's to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and souls and mind and strength. And love our neighbor. To love them as we love ourselves. That's our purpose. It's to be there for God. It's to worship God. It's to honor God. It's to live for Him. And to be there for others. To be there for one another in the family. And to be there for those who aren't in the family of God. It's to serve. It's to become more like Jesus. It's to do the work of the Lord. It's to share the gospel with others. Our purpose is to live our lives with Jesus in the forefront, at the center, all around us, as it were. As we know God's given purpose, we will naturally see our self-control grow. I mean, it's inevitable. If we know our God-given purpose and live that out, we're going to see our self-control grow. Our God-given purpose is to live in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. If we know that's our purpose, then we'll see self-control grow. Yet an athlete must do more than just know the purpose of the race. Just knowing the purpose of the race doesn't really get us anywhere, does it? If I know the purpose is to win and don't do anything about it to get to win, then it's pretty useless. They need to be disciplined to do the hard work in order to see their God-given purpose fulfilled. It takes hard work to fill a purpose. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, first part of the scripture says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last." Everyone that competes in a race, in the games, in an event, goes into strict training to win a crown, to stand on the podium. They need to go into strict training. That strict training is self-control. And to have that self-control grow in our lives, we must set up disciplines and establish good, healthy habits. No one gets up 2 days before the Olympics or to start and say, "You know what? I think I'm going to run in the marathon in the Olympics this year in 2 days." "Well, have you done any training?" "No, I don't have to do any training. I know the purpose. It's just to win. I just need to come in first." No one does that. They go into strict training. They start small and they start running years before. And they may only run a kilometer and then they run 2 kilometers. And they keep running and running and increase and increase. They finally get into the marathon and running the marathons. And then they start running marathons time after time after time after time again so they can get their speed up and their endurance going. They create and set disciplines in their lives and good healthy habits, good eating habits and good sleep habits. They do all those things. In fact, they eat, live, and breathe those disciplines and good habits 24/7. They form the daily habits which will help them reach the purpose of winning the gold and standing on the podium. What spiritual disciplines and goals have we set to help us fulfill our God-given purpose? Are we praying and reading our Bible and fellowshipping with other Christians? What have we put in our lives? What disciplines and healthy habits have we put in our lives to reach the God-given purpose? Are we running the race on Sundays only? Is Sunday the only day that we actually run the race? Because we need to have those habits and disciplines in our lives every day of the week. They need to be there if we want to see self-discipline grow. We need to start small and allow the habits and disciplines to grow in our lives. If you don't read your Bible every day, I would encourage you to start. Just open it up and start in the book of John and just read one verse a day. I'm not kidding. Just read one verse a day. Start tomorrow. And open your Bible and read John chapter 1, verse 1. And then the next day, read John chapter 1, verse 2. I'll challenge you to do that for 60 days. Do that for 2 months. And start to pray each day. Just pray one sentence. Father, I thank you for this day, and please help me to live for you. And the next day, just pray one sentence, a different sentence maybe, but just pray one sentence. Do that for 60 days or do it for 6 months. Read your Bible, one verse a day, and read and pray one sentence a day for 6 months. And see what happens. You will become people who read the Word and people who pray. Because as you do that, it will grow. You'll read one verse one day, maybe 2 weeks down the road, or maybe 3 weeks or 2 months, and you'll go, you know what? I want to read more. So you read two verses or three verses. And I want to pray more, and maybe you'll start praying two sentences or three sentences. And it'll just grow. The self-discipline will grow. Start small. It can take and be hard work, but it will grow self-control in our lives if we will start to fulfill our God-given purpose. Another thing that builds self-control into the lives of Olympians is the fact that they know the value of the prize. They know that value of that prize. They know that they're not just going, they're not out there to just get a participant's ribbon. You know, yeah, you competed in the Olympic Games. I mean, to me, I just look at all of them that are competing in the Olympic Games and I'm amazed. If they're just there, they should get a gold medal. But they're not there. They're not there just to get a blue ribbon. They're there to get the gold, to stand on the podium for the gold, not the silver, not the bronze. They're there to stand on the podium for the gold because they know the importance of that gold, winning that gold for themselves and for their country. It has great meaning. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:25 again, and we'll look at the whole verse this time. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. If an Olympian will go to all that training years just to participate in an event that might last seconds, just to get a piece of gold and stand on that podium that will eventually fade away. I mean, it might last 20, 30, 80 years, but sooner or later, that gold medal is going to be gone, or they'll die, and they will be separated from that gold medal. They will have it no more. If an athlete can build up that much self-control, striving for something that is only temporary, how much more should we grow our self-control for the eternal crown that will last forever. Paul shares in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Just as an athlete keeps the prize and the finish line in sight at all times, so must we. To think of the prize that we will receive, the prize of eternal life, the prize of glorifying our Savior, and something that lasts forever. What a great motivator that should be for us to grow our self-control so it burns bright. Now, there's one more thing. It's not a positive thing, but one more thing that motivates self-control for an athlete is the fear of being disqualified in the event. It says, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 27, "No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Why would we work so hard? Why would an athlete train for years? And they do. And then they disqualify themselves. Maybe by taking enhancing drugs, or maybe by just taking a little bit of shortcut on the marathon race. But they do, and they're disqualified. Paul says that's not good. We work so hard to bring our minds, our bodies, and our emotions into control. A lack of self-control has consequences. What good is it running the race only to be disqualified for the prize because it was discovered that we cheated or we had followed the wrong path? If you ever want to watch a good movie or read a good book, read Pilgrim's Progress. Kathy and I just read it together, and talk about taking the wrong path. There's a character in there called Ignorance. And he gets to the end. But he finds out that he did not do it properly. And he doesn't enter the kingdom of God. What good is it if we're disqualified? If we allow self-control to grow in our daily lives, we will not be disqualified, as Paul said with assurance in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. To all who have run the race. Who have done it so they will not be disqualified. Will get the crown." Paul was confident that the prize awaited him and others who have allowed self-control to grow in their lives. Earlier we talked about Paul's struggle with self-control and how he, you know, struggled with not doing the things he was supposed to do and doing the things he wasn't supposed to do. But we see that there was only one way that Paul really gained victory, and we see now he's confident in getting the prize, and that confidence that he will win the prize comes because he's allowed the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The self-control comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that lives within us that gave him that self-control and has grown. And now he's victorious. He is able to do the things he should do and not do the things he should not do. The self-control we need comes from the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He has it for us the Holy Spirit has that fruit for us. But we must continually develop it and allow it to grow in our daily lives. We need to allow self-control to grow. We will be able to have self-control in those challenging times, even in those times when we really don't want to, if we focus on our God-given purpose, if we focus on the eternal prize, and if we do it 24/7. When we do the hard work by adding disciplines and good habits, our self-control can only grow stronger, and we will never, ever have to fear being disqualified. What are we doing to grow the self-control of the Holy Spirit in our lives? That's the question I leave with you today. What are you doing to grow that self-control of the Holy Spirit so it will burn bright on the fire of the Holy Spirit, so that Holy Spirit in our lives, others will see? Because of self-control, if we allow it to burn bright, we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Isn't that what we desire to hear when we get to the end of the race? That's far better than any gold medal or standing on the top of a podium, to hear our Heavenly Father say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Self-control is something we all struggle with from time to time. Seems to be one of those things that rears its head every once in a while to try and cause us to get off track. And Father, when we do slip and when we do mess up with our self-control, may we just come to you and ask for forgiveness. And may we allow the Holy Spirit to burn brighter in our lives. May we start to do the disciplines and the good habits that will bring that self-control back into focus. Father, we want to live for you. You are who we live for. Our God-given purpose, Lord, we want that to be our focus. We want to focus on that eternal prize of knowing that we will someday be in your very physical presence, face to face. Father, help us to do the hard work we need to do. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak into our lives, and may we be obedient. We're thankful that we don't have to fear the disqualification, that we have a Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit and Jesus to walk with us on the journey, to guide us and lead us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.